Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this first Sunday of December, December 7th. We are in week two of Advent, and we are, I think it's less than 3 weeks away from Christmas. And so hope you have had a wonderful week. I want to thank Pastor Tobias for bringing the message last Sunday. Did a wonderful job. Me and my family were visiting my parents in Colorado, and we had a really nice Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good one of those too. A couple announcements as we begin today. One is these Advent books. We get put them out every year. I ask different people every year to write a little reflection on a scripture. And then we put them all together, and it is a scripture reading and a reflection every day from now until Christmas. And so we have those in the church. We've also been posting them on our Facebook page. If you don't want to pick up a physical copy or can't, they're on our Facebook page, and every day we put out a new one written by someone in our church. And it's a great way to keep Christ at the center of your Christmas season and to keep reflecting on in his word. And they do such a great job. So that is there for you. And then also these stockings that were made by our quilters. They're in the back of the church. We actually only have about four left, but there was a total of 50 for 50 different foster kids within Lincoln. And we have on the ornament here is the name, or not the name, but a boy. And this particular one is a boy age 14, and then a couple items that were on his wish list. And so you could go to the store and buy those items, wrap them, and then also fill this stocking with some goodies and bring it back to the church by December 14th. And then we give them to Christian Heritage, that foster care service, and then they give them out to the kids for Christmas time. And so it's a great thing you can do as a family to show your love and compassion to someone else. And I encourage you to do that if you would like. But I also wanted to mention our Christmas Eve service will be on December 24th. We have two of them. It's going to be at 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. We've come to the point over the last couple years where we've, instead of completely packing the place into overflow like we've had been doing, we now have two Christmas Eve services, which is a blessing to be able to do. And so we're going to do that at 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. But come on out if you can to celebrate and have candlelight service, the whole thing, that the traditional things that we do, the songs that we sing, the message I'll preach from Luke 2. So on Christmas Eve night, try to make that a part of your family and tradition. All right, today I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. If you've got your Bibles and want to follow along with me in this second week of Advent, we're going to talk about the story of when the angel came to visit Mary. So Luke 1, 26 to 38, and it says this: In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive, give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May it be in me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Now, I always like to show a few photos at Christmas and Easter time of the places that the Bible talks about in our scriptures. And I do this because it has been one of the joys of my life to get to see those places and to walk where Jesus walked. But I also do it to remind us that we're not just reading some fairy tale book here about make-believe places and people. No, Christmas is not a fairy tale invented long ago. Christmas is real. What we just read actually happened in a real place with real people at a real time. Mary actually saw an angel, and she would have a baby, even though she had been with no man, because nothing is impossible with God. For this is how God would take on flesh. This is how Jesus came to be born in a town called Bethlehem on a holy night about 2,000 years ago to a woman named Mary and her husband Joseph. This baby was born fully God and fully man, and a world would get to see him. Man, they laid him in a manger, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, because that's all this couple had. There was no room for them anywhere, and they were too poor for anything else. But this is a real story. The Son of God born, that we might now know God for real and be saved from all of our sins, because he would one day go to the cross, and that we would have his words now to live by and his example to follow and his kingdom in our hearts and the Spirit to guide us. It's all because the God of the universe decided that you were worth saving, and so he came in the flesh to save us. This is what Christmas is all about. And some might say, well, how do you know it was December 25th? Well, we don't know. And to be honest, probably it wasn't that day. Nowhere in the Bible does it give us the day that Jesus was born. If you really want to know, it was probably closer to springtime, because that's when the shepherds would have been out in the fields. But we don't know. But for me, the day doesn't matter. What does matter is that I believe that it happened. And what does matter is that I stop and remember every year and celebrate. That I stop in the ordinary and busy stuff that can fill all of our lives and celebrate again the birth of our Savior and the King of all kings who came for us and who dwelt among us for even a short time and gathered those disciples and taught and healed in Galilee and then gave his life and rose on the third day that we all might live. It's so important, you see, I think, that every year we celebrate the festivals and that we pass on the traditions and that we read the stories again and again that define us as a people and help us think deeper again about God and the eternal truths that guide and shape our lives and hearts. We must celebrate Christmas and pass the message on to our kids. And we in this church, we do Advent a part of that, and because it extends the Christmas season 4 weeks. But this is also, Advent is also a very interesting time because it doesn't only look back to when Christ was born in Bethlehem, but it also looks forward to when he's going to come again. Remember, after Jesus died and rose again, before he ascended into heaven, he promised that he was going to come back to be with us in the same way that he left, and that all eyes would see him, which means really that you and I, we live in between the first and the second coming of our Lord. That's the time we live in history, the time of the church, the time of the mission, the time of spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus to all of the world, and to being that light in the midst of dark places, that we might speak as he spoke and live as he lived and love as he loved, so that all people everywhere might come to know him too, the truth upon which has saved our soul, that they too might believe and have eternal life in him. Advent for me, you see, reminds me of who I am and when in time I live and for who I live and what's all most important. And so I need this Christmas Advent time every year. So again, like I was saying, just a few photos I want to show you here. First photo is this one. It's an interesting photo. It's from 1870. And it's a picture of the only water source in Nazareth. This is a real photo of what Nazareth looked like 150 years ago. Today, if you go to Nazareth, the city is much bigger. Why I wanted to show you this photo is because today this same spot, this well, is covered over with roads and homes. But this is how it would have looked 150 years ago. And this is probably very similar to how it looked in the day of Mary 2,000 years ago. For it is believed that the Mary, she encountered that angel while she was by herself going out and gathering water. Well, this is where she would have gathered it. Second photo I want to show you is taken modern day now in Nazareth, and it is on the near the very same spot there. The church in the background, you can see, was built over the well that I just showed you, but built over to protect it. It's an Orthodox church built over to remember the place where the angel came to visit Mary and to protect that spot. And here is a third photo of now my daughter, Aria, standing next to that ancient well. In this photo, she is 16, which is interesting because that's probably the age Mary would have been when she was told she was going to have a baby. So now getting back to our scripture, this scripture we read today is often called the Annunciation. That word simply means the announcement. God sent an angel to announce the coming of his son, to tell Mary what was about to happen in her, and that she was going to be a part of what God was about to do. She would be the mother of the child. God was not going to enter the world as a fully grown adult, but he was going to come as a baby and to live the full life that we live, dependent even upon a mother to nurse him and care for him and to a family to raise him up. And this is all beyond my understanding, you know, but this was his plan. This was his will, to be born as a baby to a mom and then be raised. And we see in the Bible that God often announces what he's going to do before he does it. Why? So that we will see him in it, that we will know this was just God, so that we'll pay just a little closer attention to what's happening. God announced that, for example, that he was going to send a flood before he did. God told Abraham that him and his wife were going to have a child in their old age 25 years before they did. God told Moses he was going to deliver his people Israel before he did. He told them of a promised land before they got there. He told Joshua the walls of Jericho were going to fall before they did. He told Elijah to tell King Ahab no rain was going to come for 3 years because of their sin, and no rain did come for 3 years. The people knew it was God. He told Jeremiah, as Jeremiah and his people are walking out of Jerusalem in handcuffs, he told them not to worry. 70 years from now, the people are going to return from exile. And that's exactly what happened. He told the prophets a Messiah was going to come. And one did, a child born, a son given, just as foretold. He told Isaiah that this son was going to be one day pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment laid on him would bring healing to us all. And sure enough, Jesus was pierced with nails upon that cross, just as foretold. And before Jesus was born, he announces it here to Mary, and he'll do it to Joseph, and to Anna and Simeon in the temple, and to shepherds out in the fields, and to wise men from a distant land who followed a star. And he announces what he's going to do before he does it. I think even about how Jesus, he announced many things before he did them. He announced that he was going to raise Lazarus before he raised Lazarus. He announced that Jerusalem would one day fall. He announced to his disciples that he was going to be betrayed, arrested, and crucified, but rise again. He told them it three times before it actually happened. You see, God often announces what he's going to do before he does it. And I wonder today, has God ever done that in your life? Has God ever given you a vision or a little picture or a dream even of what he was going to do in your life or in this church or in this world? And then he does it and you're blown away because you can see that it was just him. He let you in on the secret so that you could see him in it when it happens, right? This is what God does. He announces. The word translated angel in our scripture is literally messenger. God sent a messenger to tell Mary what he was about to do. And now that messenger wasn't just a person. He was an angel, a heavenly being. And the Bible tells us there are thousands and thousands of angels. But notice in our scripture for today, we're actually given this angel's name. In verse 26, the angel has a name, and his name, it says, is Gabriel. And he talks. And this is the same angel that comes to Zechariah a few verses earlier, still in Luke chapter 1, but verse 19 we read it. Before the angel goes to Mary with the announcement that she's going to have a child, the Son of God, the angel Gabriel first goes to a guy named Zechariah, who was a priest, and he appears to him as Zechariah is going about his business as a priest in the temple, saying his prayers, when all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar there in the temple, and says, "Your prayer has been heard, Zechariah. Don't be afraid. Your wife Elizabeth is going to bear you a son." Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for a child, but weren't able to have one. But the angel tells them they're going to have a child. And then the angel says that he's going to go before the Lord to make ready a people for the Lord. And angel speaking about John the Baptist here. That child's going to be John the Baptist. But notice in verse 19 of chapter 1 in Luke, the angel tells Zechariah his name. It says, the angel said to him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news." So we hear the angel's name twice. And first, Gabriel goes to Zechariah to announce the natural birth of him and Elizabeth's son, John, who's going to be a prophet to prepare God's people to meet Jesus. But then a few verses later, about 6 months later, Gabriel comes again to tell Mary that she's going to be with child, Jesus. And we read in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. So it is the same angel. Angels. Carrie and I just watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life. We love that one. Watch it every year. Well, in the movie, there's an angel there named Clarence. And he is sent down to help a man who's going through a really tough time. His goal is to help him see the reason that his life matters and to not throw it away. Well, we don't know a ton about angels, but we know they exist, and the Bible mentions them a lot. And it even says that some people have entertained angels without even knowing it. Wouldn't that be amazing if we have? Wouldn't it be amazing if at some time in our life, God had sent an angel for us who maybe communicated something to us or helped us out even, and we didn't even realize it was an angel. To us, maybe it appeared just a stranger at the right time or a message that we got that maybe we didn't fully understand at the time, but later we realized it was God at work in our life. I think of Psalm 91:11. It says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And so it just makes me think, are there things in your life that you can't explain? Are there times when it appears that heaven and earth have kind of come closer together, when you realize life is greater than just what you can see? I mean, did God just do stuff in Bible times? Or do we just fail to see him today and give glory to God? It wasn't just a coincidence or luck, but God was watching over us. It wasn't just a person or just a dream or idea that just popped into our head, but God is real and he's often closer than we think. He still works like he always works. Some of the other things, though, that we learn in this scripture to the announcement to Mary. One, we learn in verse 27 that Mary is a virgin pledged to be married. People say, well, how can you believe in a virgin birth? And my first answer to that is simple. Because I believe in creation and a creator. You see, I believe in a God who spoke and the world just happened at his command. He has that power. He speaks and the universe is formed. Land and seas and oceans and grass and desert and mountains and trees of all types and solar systems that go on for so many light years, all formed at his word. He brings into reality something out of nothing. He doesn't actually need anything to do whatever he wants. He is Almighty God. By his word, animals of all types come into being. And then by his word, he makes you and me. If you believe in creation like I do, then why is a virgin birth so hard? Nothing is impossible with God. He doesn't need us, yet he includes us. He isn't confined to nature. We are, but he isn't. He is over all. And this is how he chose to enter our lives. It's what had to be done. The Lord had to take on flesh in order to take on our sin and die for it, in order that we might know him and watch him and see him and hear him. He had to come in the flesh, but also be fully God. Not like one of us in this. He was God. So the Bible says the exact representation of God, the fullness of him. And John 1 says the word took on flesh. Jesus is God, but also man. So this was his way, the virgin birth. Isaiah 7:14 prophesied it. It said a virgin's going to give birth to a son. And that's what the angel is telling Mary. He's saying, you're that virgin. You're that woman. You are the one. Your child is going to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the King of all kings, whose kingdom is never going to end. You know, with Mary, I often think about what she probably had to go through. Not easy. She was only probably about 16 years old, just a kid herself, just a teenager. Sometimes we parents, you know, it's hard to watch our kids go through stuff they got to go through. But this could be their call, what they have to go through. You know, this could be the way that they develop that deep and personal relationship with God that ignites the light within them, their call, and how God's going to use them in the world. With Mary, this call on her life, it wasn't going to be easy. Teenage girl in a Jewish society in a small town found to be pregnant out of wedlock. That would have been scandalous. It would have been dangerous. There were strict rules back then. In Matthew 1, it tells us that Joseph, when he learned of Mary being with child, he was a righteous man and he was going to divorce her quietly. You see, they were pledged to be married, but they weren't actually together yet. And so he was going to divorce her quietly, it says, to not expose her to public disgrace. Well, that's a nice way of saying Joseph just saved her life. His mercy probably saved her life. In that culture at that time, a woman was stoned to death for such things. People would have assumed she had been unfaithful, even though she hadn't been. Joseph could have brought her before the authorities and says, look at my wife is pregnant with child and it's not mine. For he was her pledged husband. But he didn't do that. In Matthew 1, it tells us that God sent an angel to Joseph as well to tell him not to be afraid to take Mary home as his wife, for the child within her is from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, it says, believed, and he took Mary home. This is how God would protect Mary and the child through Joseph. But the call on Mary's life was still not easy. It would not be without persecution or suffering, and all the way through, she would eventually see her child go through what Jesus went through on that cross. Well, this has all caused me to think of how God's call on our life sometimes, it's dangerous. It may be very uncomfortable. It may not be understood by everybody or accepted by everybody around us. It made me think about Abraham, for example. He was sent by God to a distant land that he had never been before. He had no connections in that land. Yet still he went wondering what he was going to encounter there. And I'm sure his family back home was like, where are you going and what are you doing? But he went because God called him. But it wasn't easy. I thought of how God called Moses, and the call of Moses, you know, was to the place that Moses had run away from, Egypt. God was calling him back there where they had tried to kill him there. Now God was calling him back. How hard that must have been. And yet Moses goes. Pharaoh didn't listen to Moses at first, and things only got worse for the slaves before they got better, and Moses was blamed for it all. You see, the call of God can sometimes be very dangerous, very uncomfortable. I think of the prophets. I think about the disciples. When God calls people to go for him, you see, it's not an always an easy thing or just a better life for us. No. You see, there's too many Christian books out there today that make the Christian life all about you and your personal happiness and comfort, and that God is there to give you a better quality of life right now. But not always is all I'm trying to say. He's keeping that for the life to come. Right now, you might be called into battle, called into mission, called into poverty, called into sickness, called into a dark place that's scary to go, but you are called to go there to shine a great light for him. You see, we don't live for ourselves, we live for him, and the call of God might not be about you at all, but will you go for another? Will you be willing, as Mary did, to accept the call into your life, even though it might mean danger? We read in our scripture that Gabriel tells Mary she's highly favored, not to worry, because the Lord is with her. That means that God chose her for this. He would be with her, and it was a great honor. Just like God chose Abraham, Moses, David, Jeremiah, Esther, Daniel, Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, and Paul, so too he chose Mary, and it was an honor. In Luke 1, 46 to 55, we have a prayer that's written by Mary, where she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." In her prayer, you can hear her heart. You can hear her humility. Mary knows this is an honor to be called of God. She doesn't say, "God chose me because I'm better than all the other people, more qualified," but rather she knows she had nothing, but he gave her everything. She was poor, but she was willing and humble and had faith, and God was able to do great things in her life. This girl from Nazareth, she knows it's an honor to be called of God. One of our guides that we had when we toured over there in Israel was a young Jewish man, and he took us to a place in Jerusalem where Jesus, a long time ago, had healed a crippled man by a pool, the pools of Bethesda. And as he was describing the place, all of a sudden he switched and he got really personal. The only site that he did this. But he said to us, "You know, there must have been many sick people around the pool that day when Jesus showed up. And it makes me think, what was so special about this one that Jesus decided to go up to him and ask if he wanted to be healed?" And then our guide said, "And what makes it so special about me that of all the people on earth and all of my Jewish friends, how come the Lord came to me and opened my eyes and called my name and touched my heart that I would get to know him as my Savior? And he had been my life. Why do I get this privilege?" Boy, that hit me. Made me think, who am I that the Lord of all creation would know my name either? Would care about my life, save my life, enter my life, and dare to work through my life to help someone else? I get to live with the Lord every day. You see, we're all highly favored. Do we even know it? Can we even see it? It's an honor to be called by the God of the universe. Going back to our story, the angel tells Mary a number of things we could ponder. He says in verse 3, don't be afraid. How we need to hear that today. Don't be afraid. How is the Lord trying to tell you right now in your circumstance and situation? Don't be afraid. The Lord's near you. He also says to Mary, you'll conceive, give birth to a son, you're to call him Jesus. The angel first speaks the name that is above every name, Jesus. We learn in Matthew 1, the name is Hebrew for the Yahweh will save. That's what Jesus means, Yahweh will save. So within his name, we hear his purpose. God sent his son to save us from our sins. The angel is telling Mary she'll give birth to a son and choose to call him Jesus. The angel also says he's going to be great. He'll be the son of the Most High. And he says that God will give him the throne of David and he will reign forever and ever. His kingdom will never end. And this is also very important. Jesus came first to save us from our sins, and he did that on the cross, but he also came to usher in a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has already begun. It began with Christ and with those first disciples, and it'll be seen in full when Jesus returns. But it already exists. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said the kingdom of God will be within you. It is the rule and the reign of Christ in our hearts today. It is the people who choose not to follow the world, but follow Jesus instead. It is his spirit that is alive in us. It is the people from all tribes and languages and nations that are now our brothers and sisters, not by race, but by him and our mutual faith in him. This big family of God, this is our people. We are citizens, you see, of heaven. We are children of God. We are followers of Christ. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the light in the darkness. We are the kingdom. And by his Spirit, he is at work in us to shine in every dark place out there, to bring hope to every hopeless person out there, to share the good news of forgiveness in his name, and to teach of his love and commands, and to live them, to care for our orphans and our widows and those in the world that are overlooked, to share our food with the hungry, to clothe the naked, to pray and to worship his name, to spread his glory and goodness all over this place. Yeah. May thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The angel told Mary, he's going to sit on the throne. He's going to reign forever and ever. His kingdom's never going to end. But the last thing I want to say then is how Mary asks how. How is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. And the angel answers, the Holy Spirit, that's how. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. Nothing is impossible with God. And to this, Mary simply believes. And she surrenders. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be in me, as you have said. And this is true faith. Mary surrenders all her inability for God's ability. Mary surrenders all her lack of understanding for simply trust in him. She surrenders her body and her life for his purposes. She believes and trusts God to do it. Let it be in me, as you have said. For us, that is the goal. Complete surrender to God. Not our wants, but his wants. Not our will, but his will be done. However I saw my life going doesn't matter as much as his plans for my life. Whatever I wanted to go and do and whatever I dreamed of being, I lay it all down for his perfect will and desire for me. Need not be afraid because it's not up to me. He'll make it happen. Lord, I'm your servant. Have you ever totally laid it all down? Is there something that he's asking you to lay down today? To not be afraid, but to let go and to let God. Sometimes it's a really big thing. Other times it's just the daily attitude we need to have or heart that's willing to go wherever we see God at work. Or a person in need and feel his spirit saying give or to give up your plans today and to serve. And when we do that, when we listen and we do that, we see God and others get to see God through the love that we share. Sometimes it really doesn't make a lot of sense what God might be asking us to do. But nothing is impossible for him. So are you willing to go and to do what doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes, but you keep feeling is from him? Just say yes. See what God does. Mary reminds me that God doesn't exist for me. I exist for God. And we all are favored in just the fact that we get to know him and that he calls our name and gives his life for ours on the cross. And it's a privilege to be called a child of God. And it's an honor to serve him however he asks, whatever he asks. I am the Lord's servant. May it be in me as you have said. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.